D4. Number 13B.
We must naturally be aware that when we read the textbook, that Mrs. Eddy will not separate always these categories in a sentence, because what she has written is a symphony, and in that whole symphony of ideas, actually all the tones blend and blend infinitely, and therefore we will get, when analyzing the text, we will get these blendings. For instance, here she depicts the Christ on both levels, on the level of divine science and absolute Christian science, when she says, Christ, you're just here, it's not on your material, Christ dwells forever in the bosom of the Father. Can you see how she takes the Christ back to the Father, to God, to the capitalized term? That is divine science. And then she makes a comma, from which it illumines heaven and earth. You see, first we have that sense of divine science, of saying that Christ is God and dwells in the Father, in the Word, because it is the self-expression of the self-existent Word. And from there, it illumines heaven and earth. It has that omnidirectional expression, or halo, as Bucky Fuller would call it, and gives it out right to the universe. Or another combination, it says, in another order, Christ is a true spiritual idea. See, it's a true spiritual idea. You get at once absolute Christian science. So Christ as a true spiritual idea is what? It's the ideal of God. And she puts it right back into the whole of God, into life, truth, and love, now and forever, here and everywhere. So I just wanted to point out these things so that in your study of the textbook, you may come across such statements and then that you don't think, well, these contradict what we have been learning and what I have been presenting, because all these concepts blend with each other, and they must blend. And as we see, as we go on, naturally, as we have done with the Word, we then want to see the divine interdependence of these place values on the various levels, and that only through blending them we really come to the full tone of a concept. So I go further to the next level, of the level of Christian science, and there you have the relationship of truth to error. So here Mrs. Eddy must explain the office of the Christ again differently than before, because it is a different proposition, different problematics that is being presented, and you get at once completely different definitions of the office of the Christ. Here we find those many, many, many statements which may be epitomized in this one here. Christ casts out evils and heals the sick. Can you see now the office of the Christ in relationship to its opposite, to the Antichrist, in relationship to evil and sick? In its office as casting out. Its office as casting out, because the Christ is the self-expression of being. So if it is the self-expression of being, it jolly well has to cast out the Antichrist, the opposite. That's how here all those many references come in, like Christ casts out error and heals the sick. She says Christ takes away the ceremonies and doctrines of men. You see the opposite, again the Antichrist, the ceremonies and doctrines of men. What deals with that? Christ casts it out and deals with the opposite. She says, Christ casts out the devil of dumbness. Again, the relationship. Or Christ subdues the human belief in disease. Again, because the Christ is Emmanuel in absolute Christian Science, and therefore is the Christ in understanding, therefore, because it is in understanding, there is no more room for ignorance, and so casts out that spirit of dumbness. It says, Christ takes away the sins of the world, destroys incarnate error. All these have the same connotation, always to show that the self-expression of the Christ cannot do anything else, but that it casts out the opposite beliefs. Or it is that which comes to the human. Namely, it says that Christ turns water into wine. We begin to see that Christ is that which can take the elements of human thought, water, can take the conceptions of the human mind and improve on that and turn it into inspiration. So that through the influx of the Christ that illumines heaven and earth, comes to the point of human understanding, taking away the limited, material, finite concepts of men and giving him, instead of that, higher inspiration. Or she says, Christ improves on a false sense. It gives to mortals, gives to human life inspiration, she says. Can you see all these want to show that the Christ comes not only to the flesh to destroy incarnate error, it also comes to the human unenlightened, limited understanding and lifts it right out from that level into a higher sense of being, into the idea of being. So in this way, you can now listen, you see, how Mrs. Eddy will use the same term, Christ, in completely different ways according to the altitude of consciousness which we take in. Now, this means that really if we want to have a whole consciousness, that we should take in all those three levels as one. And therefore, there we begin to see here, try to summarize it, what we have been seeing, that our consciousness starts right with that insight that Christ is the Son of God, that Christ is truth itself, that Christ is where being, capital B, where being itself expresses itself as what it is, expresses the Word of God. And therefore, by acknowledging what it is, I can see that this must be the acknowledgement to every situation. And so I come to absolute Christian Science, where Christ illumines heaven and earth, leading into all truth, giving absolute evidence in every detail. Giving evidence and spiritual evidence in every detail means that thought at once ask the question of absolute Christian Science and say, will that do something to its opposite? And so she says, yes, it will do something to its opposite. It casts it out. It is really the savior to the human situation, to the material error. And so in this way, I think we get a good introduction into what this Christ means. Let me just quote one or the other statement from Mrs. Eddy's text to show how she will blend these terms. For instance, how she blends Christ in absolute Christian Science with Christ in Christian Science. For instance, she says, Christ as the spiritual or true idea of God. That's absolute Christian Science, huh? Is healing the sick and casting out evils. Christian Science. so that we can see very easily, for instance, that if we are concerned with casting out evils and healing the sick, that's usually the first point of interest which people may have, that if you start there, you don't start right. But if we start there where we try to cast out evils, we don't start right. We have to have the potentialities of the Christ first in consciousness, because only the Christ consciousness can heal. And so we jolly well have to draw from a higher source than just the Christ healing the sick, and first get the true idea. Christ is the true idea of God, which then heals and so on and so on and so on. So that in a way we feel that what is necessary is that we first see the absolute sense of the Christ and remain in consciousness within that absolute Christ. And that only such a consciousness has in itself the potentialities to deal with the Antichrist. Or she says, to take another combination, Christ is a true idea voicing good. It's a true idea, absolute Christian Science, voicing good. You just hear it as it goes out, absolute Christian Science. She says it's the divine message from God to men. You couldn't have that in divine science. In the divine science, you don't have God going to men, because in the oneness of being, you don't have that translation from God to men. There it is, just the oneness. So you can hear that it is absolute Christian Science speaking to the human consciousness. Comes right down to Christian Science, where it says, and that leaves no false concept in human consciousness, not upturned. Now, is that the right syntax? I was falling over my syntax, apparently. But that's the beauty of speaking freely, that one can make such a lot of mistakes and yet convey the atmosphere. I'm glad that Moses wasn't a good speaker either. Well, or she would say, see that very well-known passage or definition in the glossary of the Christ gives that combination where she says Christ is the divine manifestation of God. You see, absolute Christian Science, it's the manifestation of God. It's the outpouring of God, which comes to the flesh. You have the bridge from the truth to error, to destroy incarnate error. Or sometimes she even gives in a very short sentence all three levels when one listens to it with a musical ear or with a spiritual ear. For instance, here she gives all three levels when she says, Christ is the ideal truth, capital T. See, she here Christ is truth. So you have divine science. That comes, you at once have a feeling, here she leaves divine science, that comes, because the moment you have that translation from principle to idea, you have that absolute Christian Science sense. That comes, and then you come to Christian Science, to heal sickness and sin through Christian Science. So, in this way, we begin to have a more analytical sense of the text and can gather and grasp those dimensional concepts which we find in ontology. All right. Now let's go further in our illustrative material on page 1 and go to the next column, where we go quickly through what I had in my book on the survey, where I tried in short epitomes to bring out again the same thing, namely the Christ in its three levels. And so we find there the, so to say, a short epitome of these tones. Again, we start there with the sun in divine science. Sun, who is God himself. I like to repeat what somebody in England at the seminar said. He said, I think Christ is that which says to the world, that which you are, I do. The Christ says to the world, that which you are, the being, you see, I do. It's the self-operation of being. Wonderful. You see, we find our freedom slowly. As we go through the whole chart, we find our freedom. First in the Word, we found our freedom that the Word said, only what comes out of the Word is existent. It's self-existent. And exists by itself. We don't have to make it existent. It's self-existent. And the Christ comes and says, that which exists is in operation. I put into operation. I do. I express. So you don't have to express something. You don't have to demonstrate something. You have to let the Christ demonstrate its own word. So the first point there we have is self-expression. Actually, this I could project. So that we have self-expression of being. Again, we had that. We said that Mrs. Eddy would say in the word, God is self-existent, and then in the Christ, and self-expressed. It is the self. We really should see that self must be capitalized, because it's the self or the ego of God, the I of God. The self of God says, I express myself. That's the Christ. So if we listen and feel, we don't have to express being. Being expresses itself. And so I truly well have to let it happen. Then I have taken the attitude of science. Why is it divine science? As the Christ, divine science is that big one all in all, that self. That where principle and idea is one, you have therefore that wonderful big I or ego or self. And the Christ says all that is within that one self expresses itself as its own self. That's why it is divine science, the self, and Christ as the expression of it. We have to culture ourselves in seeing that these terms are not just atomistic truths, atomistic facts, but they are a point of intersections of the vertical and horizontal categories. Only in this way we begin to learn to think structurally, or we will remain always in the old sense of thinking just in isolated truth. And only when one begins to think structurally, only then the creative ability, the divinely creative possibilities in oneself are being cultured and brought forth. We have as a second, we had the ideal, we had that already, that Christ is the ideal of God. She doesn't put that into the plural. It's just one ideal that God has, and therefore again you get the sense of divine science, principle and idea being one, one ideal, the oneness, and that ideal is the Christ, because it is the acknowledgement of God of its own ideal nature as life, truth, and love. It's the complete, again, you can see divine science gives us a sense of completeness, of all-embracedness, and nothing is lacking, where everything is there. Its ideal is the wholeness of the form, and Christ naturally brings out the true form. So again, in one word, you have the whole music of what the Christ in divine science is. Or we have what Mr. Dooley put here very often, truth itself, through that itself accentuating that what is meant with truth here is not just that truth does something to error, but here truth is truth itself. In the oneness of being, truth can be no truth but the truth to itself. It cannot be the truth to a situation, a truth to an erroneous situation. It can only be the truth to itself. And this is something beautiful because it shows that all what Christ really is doing and accomplishing is that it takes the truth and demonstrates its truth. That truth demonstrates truth. That truth acknowledges truth, the whole of truth. The truth can never acknowledge anything less but the whole of truth. And therefore you would have at once that sense that this is the right treatment, Christ is the right treatment, that therefore if we would have that sense, we would never treat any more individual cases, but we would always treat universally through the truth itself. Because if truth is knowing itself as the whole truth, then everything is included anyway in that truth. I think it's that point where Jesus could heal the multitude, where he wasn't concerned with all sorts of cases and investigating every case and so on. He walked through the multitude, and those who were ready for the one truth were healed. But Jesus' consciousness at that point was seeing that there is one infinite truth, and that that one infinite truth does nothing else but to accept and claim its whole truth, its own whole truth. Well, these things are things to be thought over gently and lovingly. These things are not things that can be taught, and then you have it. I don't believe in it. I mean, I shouldn't say so, or you don't come again next time. I'm destroying my business career. But you know what I mean? All what I can do is to awaken thought. But the real work, it must be done in quietude all by oneself. And only as one is quiet within oneself and listens to God and sticks to the scientific categories and is not muddled in one's consciousness, then an idea gels. Slowly, slowly, but definitely, surely. That's the law of creativity. See, it really tells.